Nicole mentioned it before, like, you should never have a fan allowed to umpire. Like, what are you supposed to do? If you grow up a fan of baseball, you can't be an umpire. But in this particular case, I do legitimately believe that that dude, whatever his name is, I don't care.
Walsh.
He let his old school Red Sox fandom impact that game. Dude, nobody can convince me otherwise that he was not even subconsciously leaning against the Yankees as the game got tight and later on in the game, obviously.
It was so egregiously, substandard for an umpire at that level that there's really nothing else to think. It's not like some, you know, deep-rooted takedown. Oh, maybe he doesn't like the Yankees. I mean, to me, it's so apparent that he's awful at his job and that he blew an excessive amount of calls, which should be deemed unacceptable by Major League Baseball. He was looking to squawk with Boone. You know, he thinks he's Tony Tough Guy behind the plate. Just keep your mask down and shut up. Honestly, you've got to, like, it's really getting me angry the more I think about this, Sal, because an umpire and I'm not saying that, and I said this earlier, but I do need to reassert this. I don't mean that if somebody's coming at you like a deranged lunatic, which, by the way, Boone was last night.
Yes,
he was pretty worked up, man.
He got there.
You don't just stand there and take it. Like, you're a human being. Like, when somebody's spitting in your face, like, you know, phlegm's flying and you're nose to nose, no, you can push back a little bit and you can get aggressive. You've got a license to do that. But the problem is, it's just like they're so sensitive. Your job as an ump or as an official is to diffuse. This is basic stuff. It's to diffuse, not elevate, and that clown last night was elevating.
Yeah, I know, I get it. I mean, obviously, we've had some issues here with the I'm sorry, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-101.
Well, you were distracted with something. Anything interesting?
No. I'm just looking. I wanted to go over the Mets rotation real quick because we were kind of, not screwing it up before, but just trying to do the math on it.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm just going to throw out names, okay?
Go ahead.
Tong, Senga, Manaea, McClain, Holmes, Peterson, Sproat.
That's a lot of names, dude.
Yeah, well, that's seven.
Tom Senga, McClain. I know them all. Keep going. Okay. I'm writing them down as you're going.
So
I got you.
That's seven. I'm not even going to bring up Tyler or McGill or whatever. But when we talk about the problems to fix the Mets rotation, see, with the addition of Tong now, and if you bring Sproat into it, you can then, I'm crossing off Senga off my list, out of the rotation, let's hope down to the minors, right? So that then leaves you six starters, assuming you bring up Sproat, which means you can take Manaea, which is what I wanted to do, move him to the bullpen, and now that leaves you five starters. Tong, not in any particular order, Tong, McClain, Holmes, Peterson, and Sproat. So even with, like, the two worst guys in the rotation, Manaea and Senga, you can take them out if you bring Sproat up and have him take one of the spots, and then you go back to a five-man rotation. Like, what is this six-man rotation? You don't have enough good starters. You're going to go with six?
Yeah. Usually you stretch the boundaries when you have a surplus, a riches of something.
Yeah.
When you don't, you do the opposite. You try to condense it. They're making more room for more guys who aren't good.
Or if they thought that it would benefit Senga specifically because we know him on the extra rest, and Manaea, it hasn't. Those have been the worst guys.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? Why do the Mets feel the need to have a six-man rotation? Good God. And even if they do, then to me it would be Tyler McGill when he comes back just to have somebody different take a start. Well, what's the worst you can do,
like
BT?
McGill at all. Would he be worse than the other guys? I hear you. Everybody else
is going four or five innings anyway.
But McGill's not making $17 million a year with a commitment for the Mets like Manaea is. So I'm not saying that Cohen's sitting there counting pennies or nickels, but there's a little influence, I would imagine, based on the contractual commitment the Mets have to Manaea versus McGill, who's making peanuts. The only thing that I would say, let's be careful a little bit. Like, McClain, to me, there is no doubt he's the real deal.
Right. Tong and Sproat, we have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what I do have, and I wish I didn't feel this way, because I just don't think he's healthy. I've got about as much confidence as I can have saying that Manaea is not fully healthy and that he's battling through this. I'm not trying to start a story or be irresponsible. I just don't think that he's physically right. And because of the loose chips in his elbow, I can deduce and get to that point without sounding like I'm starting trouble here. I don't think he's right. So I am fine pushing him to this. I don't think he's going to stabilize this enough to justify getting the baseball every 5 days. So I'm fine with that part. But you got to see a little bit more from Tong than one start. And I know he is revered in that organization. And his attitude and his demeanor all look to be check, check, check. It's one start.
Understood. But let's say he has a bad start on Saturday.
I don't give up on him.
Yeah,
he's
going to get another start.
As he should.
So they could still evaluate him and think postseason big picture while also moving the other guys. Like, I think Manaea would benefit from getting to the pen now, potentially become a weapon for them. You know, we didn't even mention Helsley, which obviously was the story of yesterday again. Like, he's unpitchable. I've never seen anything like it, BT. I can't understand how a guy could be that dominant with a team for that long and come to the Mets and be that awful. There are position players who are more effective relievers than Ryan Helsley's been with the Mets. Now, I'm not saying I'm giving up hope on him because I still, just at my core, I have to believe he's got to be better than this. I have to. The guy throws 102. He throws 102. Throw the damn, I almost said GD. Throw the slider for a strike. Holy cow.
Dude, he's...
he's getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
He might be the worst pitcher I've ever seen for the Yankees or the Mets in terms of, like, what he has shown us as a New York pitcher. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody worse. And the crazy thing about it, he does have, you know, elite stuff on 102 slider wipeout, but it ain't working, so he's either tipping or he's just not hitting the spots, whatever. There's not even any suspense. It's not like, oh, is Helsley going to be? It's first walk, pitch, rocket, bench. But I got to tell you, got to take a little issue with your boy Mendy yesterday with that. Now, if you want to get him right, and I understand that you're going to keep trying to do that because he was brought here for a reason, and he's got enough of a resume where you shouldn't abandon Helsley, although you're getting to the point you might have to. Why the hell are you putting him out there in a one-run game?
Yeah.
Put him out there with a 7-2, 7-4, 8-3, 5-0. That is a bad job by Mendoza to put him in that game at that spot.
I could not disagree more.
Why?
They have to.
Dude, his ERA is 10.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when he pitches. He's getting lit up. He's been in those blowout games. He can't have a clean inning. Also, they were down. So
I know. I understand. Okay, they're down a run. They're not down 7-1.
It doesn't matter.
Like, the guy's covered up with a gas can in a matchbook.
It doesn't matter. It's
it does.
You got to use him.
Why do you have to use
it's
him?
It's the same. He's on the roster. You've got to use the pitchers available. Their starting pitchers aren't giving him any length. It's the same thing with Boone and Devin Williams. Like, everybody complaining, how could Boone use him in this spot? Well, he's on the roster. He's already used 15 freaking guys. You got to be able to go to somebody in that spot. If it's not Helsley, who's it going to be? It's not going to be Diaz.
Honestly, my answer is, at this point, anybody.
But he's on the roster.
Helsley.
And if you're trying to get him right,
then the
argument should be not against Mendoza. It should be he should not be on the roster because he cannot be used. There is not a situation that's out there that Helsley can succeed
but
in right
But I disagree.
Now.
Succeed. Okay, that last part is key. But there are situations where you can see if he might be trending in the right direction. Not when you try to take the series. And listen, it's not the LCS, so... but you try to take 2 out of 3 against the really good Detroit Tigers team.
No, they did take 2 out of 3.
No, I mean, I'm trying to sweep them.
You're trying to sweep them.
Like, you got a chance to mop them and really, you know, further stabilize things and, you know, get ready for the stretch run, which is going to be tough. I'm not saying that you don't, you know, tempt fate and say, all right, we traded for this guy. Maybe we can get him right before it's all said and done. But I don't want to see him. If I'm a Mets fan, I'm sitting there saying, and I was saying I'm not even a Mets fan. I'm saying, why is this guy coming in? Get down one run.
Right. I thought it was the perfect spot.
He stinks.
Yeah. Okay. But he stunk with the Mets. He does not stink in his career. He's been great. He was a reliever of the year last year.
Devin Williams was the best closer in baseball last year until Alonso probably broke him. I don't trust Williams now. I don't care about last year.
Williams has had some success.
Last year, Rodgers was the quarterback of the Jets. I don't care about last year.
Understood, but let's not make it like Helsley's not a good reliever.
Well, for the Mets, he's been the worst in baseball.
I understand that. But you're making it like the guy has sucked his whole career and they're throwing him out there. They traded for him. He was one of the best relievers, if not the best guy, second to Duran, on the market, period. End of story.
But that doesn't mean that Stearns got it right. Listen,
It doesn't. But it does mean that if they're trying to squeeze something out of him because they think getting him right can help them, that's a spot yesterday where I thought it was the perfect spot. You've already won the series. You're down in the game. It's a spot where it's a little bit of leverage, so you're losing, yes, but you need to keep the game close. Let's see what he can do against this team. And he couldn't get job done like there. He can't do it. I don't know what you want to do. There's not a spot that he can be pitched in right now, but I didn't think that yesterday was an issue at all.
I mean, listen, then Stearns got to say, all right, I made the wrong decision, and which you and I both lauded him for what he did and for what Cashman did. By the way, most of these relievers that both GMs brought in have not gotten the job done. Neither is Cedric Mullins. Ryan McMahon's not hitting, though he's obviously good third baseman. Now, maybe we were a little bit quick to anoint these trade deadlines wins. But listen, here's where you and I will forever fundamentally disagree with Helsley. I'm not saying that you discard him and cut him or DFA him now. And I hear you. I know what you're saying. What I'm saying is I got a chance to sweep a good team in their house And this is not the second, third, or fourth appearance. This is appearance number 9 or 10 where there is an overwhelming amount of evidence that this guy is broken. I'm not giving him the ball yesterday.